lessons of our Lord from Leviticus. Notice this offering, the character of it. The Bible says this is a freewill offering. Whenever a man will, he can offer up this meat offering unto the Lord. His offering shall be a fine flyer. That fine flyer is typical and denotes it's a choice flyer. It's an excellent flyer. It's a pure flyer. It is speaks of the dignity of the person of Christ, but then the divinity of the person of Christ. It is Jesus, not only our Creator, but our Redeemer. When I think about fine flyer or priceless flyer, I think about the kind of flyer that reminds me that he's the chiefest among 10,000. It reminds me that he's purer than the driven snow. It reminds me that he is spotless hanging on the cross until my sin and your sin was placed upon him. This fine flyer is the substance of the bread, but it has to be beaten and grinded and ground to powder. And does that not speak of the crushing blow of the reed upon his head and the beating, oh my God, of that cat of nine tails 200 some odd times at least that it would have hit his back, pulling away flesh, revealing bones and inwards. And yet he did it without opening up his voice, without asking for mercy. And some say that he started at the scourging pole with his back stretched over it. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Hey, all the way, great God in heaven, can I say today, he is the bread of life. He's not just the ox that pulled me out of the ditch. He's not just the lamb that took away my sin. He's not just a dove. By the way, there's one in the parking lot when I pulled up tonight. Amen, Noah. He's not just a turtle dove. Hey, that came down from that loftiness on high to be my substitute. He's not just that. He is the bread of life. And bread gives life, sustains life, and strengthens life. Was it not the manna that kept him alive through the wilderness journey? And Jesus said, I am that bread of life. That fine flyer, this meat offering, this meal offering. Notice this. It's fine. It's mingled with oil. It's all under it. It's all upon it. It's the essence of God. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. Laid it in the saucepan. Mingled in the womb. And then when the dove settled in, the oil was on top, Brother Tony. And the Bible said, gives us this idea. It says in our text that the oil is poured upon it. That word poured means unmeasured. I wish somebody was a trucker in here. Did y'all get that? Did y'all hear me today? I mean, poured without measure. That dove lit on him. The last time Noah let the dove out, he never come back because he didn't find a fit place to put his foot. Oh, but one day when he's baptized of John in Jordan, that dove descended from heaven and found a fit place. That's holy right there. Amen. I say amen. Wow. Are y'all with me tonight? Hey. Whoa. I might feel like I might need to preach the rest of this with my shoes off. The oil was upon it. Hey, look at this. And put frankincense thereon. Boy, I like that frankincense business. That speaks of a priestly, princely, oh yes, prophetic, prophet, pure life that he lived. The wise man knew who he was. Amen. What are you going to give a creator? What you going to give him? Yeah. What? You going to give him something he needs? Don't need nothing. You going to give something he wants? He came to get what he wants, and you can't give it to him. He's got to work on you. Are y'all with me? He's got to give you before you can give him. That's why. Is everybody all right? Woo! Oh, yes! But thank God, what you gonna give? You gonna give him, hey, what's fitting of him? I'm glad he is the priest. He is the prophet. Hallelujah. Oh yes, he's a prophet of all prophets. He's a master of all masters. He's a prince of all princes. He is the only potentate, the king of glory, the king of kings, the Lord of lords. Hallelujah, this frankincense was placed upon it, the character or the cutting. Now this meal offering was to be brought. This helped me right here. It couldn't just be you make it over here any way you want and anything you want and bring it like you want. Couldn't be like that. It had to be made of unleavened bread, picture of purity, sincerity, and truth. No sin, no leaven. Why? Because leaven puffs up. Y'all follow me? Sin puffs up. Evil puffs up. It don't just puff up, it puffs out. Yeah, that's why some folk we used to run around with, they done blowed out. And it's only by the grace of God we didn't blow out. Sin in her life has taken them over. It's contaminated every area. They thought they could compartmentalize sin and then live one way in the world, one way in God. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Great God in heaven. It had to be unleavened bread. And notice this, Brother Jeremy. The Bible says ye shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and ye shall take thereof, hey, his handful. Now, there ain't too many times in the Bible where he uses the word handful or handfuls. Go with me. Go with me. Ecclesiastes. Y'all have to go with me. Whew. Oh, yeah. Bible study today, anyway. Amen. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse number 6, better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. What are you saying, preacher? When the meat offering, the meal offering, this burnt offering pictured Christ, this meat offering, because Christ is the bread of life. In other words, bread sustained life, gave life, sustained life in the wilderness to the people of God. And so does Christ give life and sustain life. We were hungry, dying in our sin, and the bread of life was shoved in our direction. We could reach out and get a hold of it because it was offered us. Now, he did not offer us, y'all catch this, hands full. Ecclesiastes says a handful. It says in our text in verse number 2, take thereof his handful of the flour, and he's going to offer it for a memorial. Right. It's that handful that pictures Christ. Are y'all getting this? In Ecclesiastes, it says basically like this, God will always give you just enough. When they gathered in, some gathered a bunch, some gathered a little, but everybody had enough. Are y'all with me? What the Bible say over in Luke? Matthew says, give us this day our daily bread. Luke's a doctor. The Holy Ghost uses him to put it in there, a little bit of panoramic view to make it more specific. To be specific about it, you need to pray, give us day by day our daily bread. Now, the fine flour is the substance of the cakes. It's the substance of it. But it's going to take a master baker and a heavenly oven to make bread alive. I better just go ahead and take them off. Are y'all with me tonight? Are y'all with me? Way to stay on your toes. Are y'all with me tonight? It takes a heavenly baker. Hey, can't just anybody make bread of life. Are y'all with me? Woo! Y'all with me? That bread of life. Are we on the same page? So the master baker has been baking. And the oven's been cranked up. And we don't need hands full. We just need a handful. I mean, some of you ain't got it yet. When Elijah went down to the widow woman's house, did it say hands? Or did it say handful? I'd like to preach on this sometime. Whose hand's in your barrel? Whoa! Can anybody say amen? I like his hand measuring it out. He measured the waters. And are y'all with me? What about Ruth?
Yeah, for purpose. Go ahead.
Handful at a time. Handful. Then this hand's full. Then in our text, Holy Ghost could do whatever he wanted, but he said, handful. Picture this. Master Baker got fine beaten bread. That flour has suffered to become fine, to become prized, to become precious above all else. Y'all, just anybody can't handle this. Brother, they bring that in there. Now, it says that the bread, when it's prepared, and this text, we're going to get to the cooking of it in a minute, but we're talking about still the character of it. When it's brought to the priest, you couldn't even make this up. Guess what is brought in? Not just any vessel, but a ministering vessel. He didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. A minister. Guess what it's made out of? Yep, you guessed it, gold. Whoa! Sure was. And when they got down there, Brother Jeremy, this helped me right here. You got to all look up here. This is object lesson preaching right here. When they brought that there, it was still in the flour, this memorial, for the cakes, for the oven, for the flat plate. It's still prepared. Are y'all with me? It's been special prepared. It's got oil under it, in it, on it. And you'll see in our next verse that all the frankincense got on it. Ain't nobody deserves that frankincense but him. He's the only one that deserves that typification. When he brought it down there, this is what would happen. They would take that, dump it out into the priest's hand. Are y'all with me? They measured it by the palm of the hand. What made the bread possible? The palm of it? Where's your name at? Well, I hope everybody's written right yonder. That's where mine's at. Is everybody with me? The priest did that. And the palm, that was the measuring place. Now, this too big. It had to cover. But look what they did to push it over in there. Use three fingers. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Raked it right over in the palm. Guess what they use to make sure? No, nothing's allowed to touch it to defile it. So what happened? The priest would use his thumbs to rake it off, make sure there's no excess.
Amen.
That thumb is what they wanted to cut off.
Yep.
Y'all remember that?
Yep.
That's what they wanted to cut off when they sat there under warring.
Right.
That thumb is what was anointed with blood and oil.
Yeah.
Y'all with me now?
Right.
They used that great God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, he's got a precious made cake. Angels can't make nothing like this. I say amen. Wow! Perfectly measured. His palm's going to provide it. Them three fingers is going to measure it. Now when they get that over, Brother Jeremy, they didn't take it. Look at the next verse. With all the frankincense thereof, and the priest, whew, I like that, shall burn the memorial. What is it a memorial of? It's a memorial of a sweet smelling savior. What is it a memorial of? The loving kindness and mercy of Almighty God. Because he said the soul that sinneth dieth. He could have allowed them to die and bust hell wide open, but he's made an offering for them. He's made a way out. What is his loving kindness and his mercy and his unmerited grace and his unearned favor that has moved in our direction? It's a memorial, not just to him of his loving kindness and how much he loved us, but also a memorial to us, the man that's offering it when it measures out to fit the palm. And them thumbs, them three fingers has put it into the palm, and them thumbs have wrapped it up. They ain't no caring what battle's coming. They somebody battling for him. It don't matter how hungry he gets. Hey, he's got the bread of life that's going to sustain life eternal. Hey, the fire is going to be suffered for that portion. The fire, the frankincense, it's going to anoint that portion so the rest of the cake, the rest of the body of the cake can't go free without the fire. Are y'all with me tonight? I say amen. Now this happened to me. Said it was a sweet savior that was offered on the fire. It's a memorial. Notice this what it says. Brother Jeremy, and if thou bring an oblation. Well, let me read verse 3. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Now I'm going to mention this in passing. Y'all write this scripture down. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul refers to this as an example of why God instituted those who minister the work and the will of God should live by it. I don't know if y'all got to. Let me put it like this. In 1 Corinthians 9:11 and 1 Corinthians 9:14, he refers to this right here. Paul the apostle, hey, using this as a proof text that preachers are to be taken care of by the Lord from what's brought to the house of God. Is everybody with me? Amen. I know some people don't believe that, but that's what the book teaches. I just want to mention it. Notice this. The rest of it is to be consumed by the priest. Don't get wherever us think it's only for preachers. Revelations 1:5. He loved us and made us kings and priests. As Baptists, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. That's one reason I don't wear no dress when I baptize. I don't want to ever be identified as a pope or a priest. Hey, I ain't the priest over nobody. We have a high priest, and every one of us are priests. And are y'all with me? He's ordained us an office, a position. We have access. We don't have to wait one time a year. Every one of us can get on our knees and call on a holy God and get help from heaven. I'd say, if everybody had a hanky, amen. If we need to, let's buy everybody hankies, honey. Can we do that? Give all the women hankies. Give all the men hankies. Give the kids hankies. They'll wave them. Take it. Amen. Woo! Amen. Thank you, Lord. Y'all with me? That helped me right there. Keep, y'all better pack your lunch. She does help. Now, look at verse 5. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a pan. Did y'all see that? It said in verse 5, if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a pan, it shall be a fine flour unleavened. But then it also said in verse 4, if it's bacon in an oven, can I just go on record and say right here, in the cooking of this offering, there is some suffering that only you can't see what's going on inside of that oven. Best you can do is just trust it's been having to suffer the heat and suffer the flame. And all you know is when you get to partake of it, it is worth eating. Amen. It's the best cornbread, heavenly biscuits from glory that you've ever eaten before in your life. You didn't see everything that went on over at the preparation. You didn't see what was going on inside the oven, and we didn't know what God the Father was unleashing upon the Lord. We can't even comprehend that kind of torture and torment that he suffered for your sin and mine. We don't know all the hell that was unleashed on him in 3 hours of every soul that's ever been born. Are y'all with me today? Compacted in 3 hours on the cross, that's something unseen. But what we do see is when it's cooked in that flat pan. And we see that public display by this. He said in 1 John, this is the love of God, that he was manifested to take away your sin. Hallelujah. Let's turn over. Look with me, if you will, in 1 John chapter number 3. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And this was manifested the love of God, 1 John 4, rather, verse 9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Then it says, oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Can I say today, had Jesus died, he manifested his love, he proved his love, hey, he expressed his love. And if you've not experienced his love, it's not because he hadn't expressed it. He hung at Calvary because he loved you. Oh, we saw the suffering. The oven, that's hidden suffering. The flat pan, that suffering that everybody saw at Calvary. Oh, but listen, that frying pan. Yeah. Whew. Burger King fries tonight. I got Bible on it. Amen. Buy me some, Austin. Frying pan. That's got a raised lip on it. You can see more of it if you've been elevated. Well, let me say this. A dead sinner laying flat on his back can't see nothing. But you let the Holy Ghost come to him through the preaching of the Word of God and make real the suffering at Calvary. Hey, it won't just be what he's always heard. It'll go deeper than that. He'll begin to elevate him by faith and let him peek over the side, and he won't see it all. But thank God through that, it depends on what position you're at, how much of it you see. And I want to go higher so I can see more how much he loved me and what he went through on my behalf. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said that that was offered by fire. It even says, goes on to say about these that have been cooked in the oven, the flat plate, and the frying pan. It says this, Brother Jeremy. It says they'll take that and put it at the altar. Now, what I like about it is don't have, we know that according to the Bible, the altar has horns. Y'all with me? The altar has horns. Has four horns. North, south, east, west. Yes, sir. When you come in that eastern, the only, come in that door. Whew. They said about this, they would take that meal offering, that meat offering, that cornbread, heavenly cornbread, heavenly biscuits, even, heavenly cornbread. They'd take that and they'd take it over to the horn of the altar. I like that, Brother Jeremy. Y'all remember when there was a certain somebody had a son, his name was David, and that son got a little unruly, got to trying to take the kingdom out from under his daddy. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember what he grabbed on to for forgiveness? I thought I was going to see lapping right there. Did y'all remember what he held on Amen. To?
Yes, sir.
He said, I ain't a letting go till my king forgives me, till my father forgives. Hey, I'm glad. Thank God there's forgiveness because of what's being offered on the altar. I say amen. Notice this. I'm just trying to hurry. Not really, but I'm going to try to hurry. Look what it says. As for the oblation of the first fruits, he is not only the suffering substitute. He is not only the ox that pulled me out of the ditch. Brother Jeremy, he's not only that portion of bread that I feed on, that builds my faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is the word of God, food for our faith. The more we know about the Lord, the further we get to look over in the pan, the greater we realize what he went through at Calvary, the greater we realize that everything in this Bible and the volume of the book is written of him. I read it to you in the context of the last burnt offering that's mentioned in the King James Bible is over there in the volume of the book it is written of me. All five offerings point toward Christ. Five is the number of grace. If you didn't get it on burnt, you'll get it on meal. If you didn't get it on meal, don't worry. Praise God. There's a trespass offering. Just hold on by the grace of God. There's five pictures that are point you all five lanes are pointing into one way inside the holies of holies where you can have contact, fellowship, and a relationship with the holy God. Starting out as an unholy sinner, and it's going to be by way of the offering because of the sacrifice. I'm so glad today. Is anybody willing to get saved? You can come get saved. God drawing on your heart, you can be saved. It then talks about, Brother Jeremy, this atonement has taken place. Our sins have been forgiven. This horn of the altar, forgiveness has been had. Verse 12, first fruits. We're on the other side of the fire. We're over here in first fruits territory. Can anybody agree with me tonight that the first fruits territory is a whole lot better place to live your life? Would y'all agree with me? There's one thing I gotta say this. When they get over here to this first fruits territory, there's gonna be some things take place. They're gonna be talking about salt that's gotta be offered every time. All sacrifices, but it didn't mention them. We know that they did because all sacrifices have to have salt. But you don't get in on the salt before the sacrifice. You don't get in on the salt when you bring the freewill offering. But buddy, when it's been accepted, when you walk away having your cake and eating it too, that's when you enter into first fruits territory. and the salt covenant is settled in your soul. When you, let me put it like this. When you got saved, you didn't know how long you were saved for. But wasn't you glad when you realized just how long you... I like what Billy Mitchell said. The only thing better than being saved is know how long you're saved for. I say amen. It's good to know I'm saved. I ain't got a thing to ashamed. It's got everything to do with that offering, with that sacrifice. Are y'all with me? One thing, I better say this. The ashes. Now, there's plenty of scripture for this. I ain't going to have you turn there. You're going to have to take my word for it. Look it up later. Buddy, I think I'm going to see you run right here, right here. If you do, y'all going to have to get me oxygen, all right? I'm going to keep running. Hey, don't tempt him. Hey, Gabriel licking his lips. Hey, y'all, listen. Brother Jeremy, this helped me right here. When they got the ashes, after the burnt sacrifice, what? Just think about, I've already preached on all five. After the burnt sacrifice. But they did it after each one. After the meal sacrifice. They take them ashes, y'all. You know what them ashes is used for? That fat and them inwards. That's thrown on there mixing with ashes. You know what that's used for? That's the first time they ever figured out what soap was. Good gracious emojis. That's lye soap. Y'all don't believe me. Y'all going to have to go check it out yourself. Now, your textbooks will tell you that the Romans figured that out. Yeah, okay. The only thing that can make me clean come by way of the sacrifice and offering. I know how that came about. Amen. I say amen. Amen. But what I liked about it was this. They take all them ashes. Put it in a fit vessel too. And take it outside the camp. But this helped me. And dispose. It's a better word. It's where we get our word. This is a better word. This ain't changing the Bible. This is what somebody said. They used the word dispose. The Bible word points to depositing. I like that one. You'll see why. Man. Said they took him ashes, Jeremy. Took them outside the camp and deposited them in a clean place. Now, just hold on. You're saying, what's the big deal? Hold on. When Jesus died outside the gate, guess where they took the body? In a clean place where a body ain't never laid before. Whoa! I say, amen, preacher, hallelujah. Are y'all with me? I'm excited about it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother Jeremy, they said, preacher, it'll wear off. You ain't going to be that excited for long. Well, still working. Pastor, 19 years. Peggy thought it was 20. I'll go with Peggy. Been here longer than 19 years. Been preaching about 20 years. Been pastor 19 years. Is that right? Jacob, you going to be 20? Yep. I ain't been the best preacher. Ain't been the best pastor. But I like it when I get them little bleeps across the page. I like it when God showed me something. I wished I'd seen this a long time ago. There's a lot of good offerings in here. I've preached about them, but not to the detail. You'll notice in Leviticus 3, I'm just going to hit the highlights here. The peace offering. Leviticus 4, you'll see the sin offering. Leviticus 5, you'll see the trespass offering. I like that trespass offering business. The trespass offering... A ram without blemish that's been slain. The offerer, the bringer, has to do three things. Number one, has to confess. Number two, has to restore. And number three, has to add 1/5. That helps me because my wife probably thinks I'm a nut. I kick my shoes off. If the Holy Ghost hadn't been in it, it'd have plowed his head. It must have been in it.
Amen, brother. Go ahead.
My wife thinks I'm crazy. Some of y'all probably think I'm crazy. I'm good crazy. But see, the world used to think I was crazy. And so I don't want to equal out. I want to add 1/5.
Amen.
Whoa! Is everybody with me?
Amen.
If you act more solemn and serious and dried hide than you did when you was drunk, yeah, you need to get right with God and add 1/5 to it.
Yeah.
Hey, if not, you committed a trespass. Confess it. Let God see you restored. See, this last trespass offering in closing. Jacob, you come on. Don't need another burnt offering. Don't need a meal offering. Don't need a peace offering. They got it. Don't need a sin offering. That's taken care of. But the trespass offering would most of the time have to be offered. A lot of times unintentionally. How many people in here feel like Paul sometimes? The things you want to do, you don't do. You don't set out when you leave church on Sunday night to be a mess time you get back on Wednesday. But don't worry about it. It's a club that's big. I'm telling you, we're getting a mess quick. Some of us, we'd be honest before we get to the house. But ain't you glad?
Yes, sir.
There's a trespass offering. All you do, you got to confess. Get restored. And just add 1/5 to it. Add a little more to it. Say, God, put a little more on me. God, I'm going to put some more on. I'm going to do my best. You know, let me just put it like this. Y'all remember Zacchaeus? Don't y'all imagine, looked down on by the Jews, he was a traitor. It'd be like your best friend knowing all your financial secrets and going to work for the IRS and coming to your house first. That's Zacchaeus. Working for the enemy, the one that's got them under a police state atmosphere. He ain't got a friend in the world. And he's short. He ain't got nothing going for him. But what he does have going for him, he don't even know he's got going for him. Because on the way to the cross, he's going to pass by Jericho one final time.
Amen.
One final time. He's going to make a pass by his ditch. And in his case, when he's treed, he climbed up that tree. The song says, for the Lord he wanted to see. Jesus came where he was. I guarantee you. First time I saw Chris, I preached along this line. He probably said, "Whoa, he's coming to me."
Yeah.
He looked up in the tree. He probably said, "He looking at me."
Right.
He said his name's Zacchaeus. He said, "Wow, he knows me."
Yeah.
He said, come down. He said, my God, he knows me, but he wants
Amen.
Me.
That's right.
He said, I'm going to go home. He said, glory to God. Yes. He's staying with
yes.
me. What happened when you got to his house? He said, if I've done anybody wrong, I'm going to restore them fourfold. Am I right?
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's law, by the way. Church, we're getting in darker days. Here's what I'm saying. The burnt offering, the meal offering. Why, that's good stuff. That helped me. The peace offering, the sin offering. It's been accepted. We rejoice today with a covenant of salt, with eternal life, everlasting life. Will not be broken. Even when we get in a mess, some covenants in the Bible are dependent upon both parties. Some are dependent upon one party. I'm glad this, are y'all with me? Oh yeah. But others are depending on one party, but are secured by salt to every party that is involved. It's a covenant of salt. All that's taken care of. But if we'll be honest, we've trespassed. And that's what we need to get tonight. I mentioned this morning, he wants an offering of sacrifice, of praise, an offering of thanksgiving. But more than likely, before we get to that part, we got to get over here to the sacrifice of a broken heart, a confessing mouth. Admit, God, we need some help. What a man of God Paul was. And yet the same man that says I can do all things through Christ first said there dwelleth no good thing in me. What a man of God Isaiah was. But was it he who said, was it not he who said, I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell among a people of unclean lips? He gave us more of a prophetic view of Calvary than any of the gospels. He gave us insight that nobody else, six, some say, at least four, some say 700 years before Christ was ever born, he gave us a clear picture. What a man that God used. And yet God, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't go out and speak for you until I get... Church, we're going to leave. This was the last service on Sunday. Coming back on Wednesday, Travis is going to break the bread. Oh, by the way, Bible college Monday night. Brother Wayne Stafford called me and said, we have a meeting at the house Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I need you to come preach at the church house at Pilgrim's Way Baptist Church. They're having a service tomorrow night, having a service Wednesday night, and having a service Tuesday, and I'm supposed to preach. What about that? Valentine's Day. I don't know if I... Well, actually, I have preached on Valentine's Day a long time ago, but not in a church. We're going to have opportunities to worship later on. But who knows what sinner you're going to run into tonight? Who knows what person, what opportunity is going to present itself before you wake up tomorrow? If there's any trespass that's went on, you know what we ought to do? See, the trespass is more about restoration of fellowship. I don't know anybody's life in this building. But I dare say probably everybody in here's messed up since we left this morning. If not in deed, in thought. If not in action, in attitude. I want to ask you tonight. Jubilee's coming up. I had a time in the house of the Lord today. Preaching about lessons of our Lord from Leviticus.